Well, today we have the passage from St. Luke chapter 13. The Lord is walking through the villages and someone asks him a question on how many people will get to heaven. They say, Lord, will there only be a few people that will be saved? And that's a very interesting question, isn't it? Like, how many people will be saved? Will it be, let's say 50% of the people, or 10%, or 90%? Just how many? This person says, will only a few be saved? Well, the Lord does not give us an answer. He doesn't say a certain percentage. He doesn't say 25% or 90% or 10%. Instead, he addresses everyone and tells them to strive to enter through the narrow gate. So he doesn't give us a percentage. He just tells every listener, you make the effort, strive to the best of your ability to enter through the narrow gate. So what is this narrow gate that the Lord is referring to? Many of the fathers of the church, because of how the Lord goes on to explain the next sentence, says that the narrow gate is referring to this short window of opportunity that we have during our life. It refers to life on earth. Our life on earth, whether we're given 25 years, 50 years, or 90 years, is still a narrow window in which to save our souls. So it's a door that is closing. It's opened at our birth, and it closes at our death. That is the narrow window of opportunity we have to save our soul. Because the Lord goes on to say, after the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then those will stand outside knocking. So this narrow door most likely is referring to the shortness of life, the brevity of life compared to eternity. And we have to pass through this little window of opportunity to get to heaven. And the Lord reminds us to strive to enter through the narrow gate. And he says that, when this door is closed, it will be too late. That's why the Lord also says, try to reconcile with your opponent on the way to court, because otherwise it'll be too late. So reconcile to God while you're still alive, while you have this golden opportunity called life, to be able to convert and repent and to save your soul. Well, it says, eventually the door will be locked. That is the moment of our death. And Jesus says, some will stand outside saying, Lord, open the door for us. The little say, it's too late. And he says, I do not know you. I do not know where you are from. And the people in those days will say, Lord, we ate and drank in your company. You taught in our streets. So these people had some familiarity with Christ. They knew about Jesus. They may have even attended some banquets with him, or they heard him preaching in their streets. So they had a vague familiarity with Christ. But Jesus says that's not enough just to know about Christ at a distance, to be familiar with Christ. He said to them, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, you evildoers. So according to many of the saints and fathers of the church, they say that we have to go deeper than just being aware of Christ or familiar with Christ. We have to be personally intimate with Christ through prayer and through union with Jesus. So not just knowing about Jesus, but knowing Jesus himself. And we have that opportunity through sacred scripture, through spiritual reading, through prayer, through our prayer life, through the Holy Eucharist, to get to know Jesus personally and intimately. Not just to know about him, but to know Christ. We have the golden opportunity as Catholics to do that. Going to daily Mass, hearing those scripture readings every day, spending time in Eucharistic adoration, praying the Holy Rosary, which is the gospel, and just being with the Lord. And that's how you develop a friendship with anyone, right? Sitting with them, talking with them, sharing with them, getting to know them. So Jesus said that the people that were claiming, oh, we ate and drank in your company, you taught in our streets, that won't do it. That's not good enough. Just to have some knowledge of Christ or familiarity with Christ, We have to know him personally and have that intimate relationship with the Lord. And then he concludes by saying, "And they'll come from the east and the west, the north and the south, and recline at table in the kingdom of God." See, the kingdom of God is a big wedding banquet, the banquet of the Lamb. He says, some who are first will be last, and some who are last will be first. And the Lord here is probably referring to like the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, those who were considered first in Israel, perhaps might be last. And yet, the apostles, these fishermen, the peasants, the converted women of the streets, these people that were great sinners, the tax collectors, who were considered last in Israel, will now be first in the kingdom of God because they heard Jesus, they repented, they turned their lives over to Christ. So Jesus says that I've come for the rising and the fall of many in Israel. The fall, obviously, of the Sanhedrin and the scribes and the Pharisees, and the raising up of the apostles, the simple, the humble people of Israel.